I'm John Krall. We have a special No Limits for you today. Former U.S. Senator Birch Bayh has died. The three-term senator, one-time presidential candidate, former Speaker of the Indiana House of Representatives, and the author of two amendments to the U.S. Constitution, was 91. We will be talking with many of the people who worked with and knew Birch Bayh best. If you wish to join the conversation, particularly if you have a Birch Bayh memory to share, please call 866-476-3881, email nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. This is a special No Limits. We are going to be talking about the life and legacy of the late U.S. Senator Birch Bayh, one of the giants in Indiana history. If you would like to join the conversation, please call us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. We are joined by two people that Hoosiers know well and who knew Senator Bayh well. They are former U.S. Representative Lee Hamilton and former Indiana State Senator and former candidate for Indiana Lieutenant Governor Vi Simpson. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
So this has to be a somber moment for the two of you. I'm going to ask Representative Hamilton. I'll start with you. What your thoughts were when you heard of Senator Bayh's passing?
I thought Senator Bayh's extraordinary legacy in the legislation that he sponsored and passed. I thought, of course, of my friendship with him, which extended almost 70 years. I thought of his extraordinary appeal and how effective he was in connecting with all kinds of people, those in high status, those in low. And I thought of a man who had enriched our state and our country and left a lasting impact, I believe, on both entities. An extraordinary man in many respects, an iconic figure in the history of our state.
Senator Simpson, what were your thoughts when you learned of his passing?
Well, of course, I'm saddened on a personal level, but also saddened for the people of Indiana, for all that Senator Bayh represents and represented as a person who represented us on a national and international stage, represented the people of Indiana, and I'm saddened for all of the people of the United States whose lives were impacted, particularly the lives of women, whose lives were impacted so significantly. This is a different world we live in today, and much of what goes on for women in terms of opportunities and pay equity and opportunities in education and in sports, all of those things, we can draw a direct line from those opportunities for women to the legacy of Senator Birch Bayh. And I will be forever grateful for all he did, not only for me and my generation of women, but for generations to come of the women now who are excelling in so many areas.
One of the things that I obviously did not know Senator Bai as well as the two of you, but I've covered him through the years, and one of the things that amazed me is, as the two of you have alluded to, he was a towering figure, not just in Indiana, but in U.S. history, the only person, perhaps since the Founding Fathers, to have authored two amendments to the U.S. Constitution, and, you know, a powerhouse figure in the history of civil rights, all sorts of things. But he also was this incredibly approachable figure. I lost track of the number of times I'd see him when he came in to give a speech, and he'd, you know, take his jacket off and roll up his shirt sleeves. And there was this sense that he was just this guy who was talking with you rather than at you or to you. You know, was that approachability a key part of his appeal as a leader? Senator Simpson, I'll start with you, and I'll give Representative Hamilton the last word on that. This one.
It absolutely was part of his legacy. He was friendly and outgoing, and you felt like you were speaking with someone who lived next door, someone in your family, instead of a United States senator. He was never pompous or ostentatious in his approach. He was always such a genuine person, and he had a real gift that all politicians wish they had, and that is he had an incredible memory for names. He could remember people's names, having not seen them for a year or two, and he could pull those names out of his memory bank. It was an incredible gift we wish we all had.
Representative Hamilton.
Well, I think you used the right word, approachable. He was exceedingly likable as a person. I knew many people who did not agree with his policies. I was critical of him publicly. But if I took those people in to meet with him and talk with him, they would come out saying, well, I don't necessarily agree with his politics, but he certainly is a nice guy. He connected with people in an extraordinary way, even for a skilled politician. And he had a likability, which is a tremendous asset in any walk of life, but certainly in politics. Bai, I think, said it very well. He had a lack of pretense, a down-to-earthness, a humility. In many ways, for me, he characterized the fundamental Hoosier values. He was very much a part of Indiana. Its history, its people was very much a part of him. He understood the state, and he had a great appeal to Hoosiers. A remarkable politician in many, many ways.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the life and legacy of the late U.S. Senator Birch Bai, a Democrat from Indiana. We are talking with Vi Simpson and Lee Hamilton about the senator. We now are joined with Indiana Pacers Assistant General Manager Kelly Krauskopf. I hope I pronounced that right. Kelly, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Certainly. And I would invite our listeners to join the conversation. One thing I would suggest, we've got a lot of people calling in today, so if you cannot join the conversation by phone, please use our email address, which is nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or track us down on Twitter at WFYI. So, Kelly, I'm going to ask the same question of you that I asked of Senator Simpson and Representative Hamilton. What were your immediate thoughts when you heard that Senator Bai had died?
Oh, well, I just felt a heaviness in my heart, honestly. You know, I was listening to some of the descriptions of him, and my opportunities to meet him and be around him were all around sports. As we talked a lot about Title IX and the opportunities for women and girls that were created, and I'm one of those. But I just felt this just a sadness. You know, I had actually called him before I took this job because I wanted to say thank you again for just, you know, the work that he did with the passage of Taliban and the legislation, because, again, I'm another example of benefiting from that and having the opportunity to now work for the Indiana Pacers. And had I not had all the other doors open up through sports, through opportunities that, you know, this legislation and then the Title IX amendment, you know, afforded me, then I know it wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So just what a wonderful, warm man. You know, you could feel it when you just stood next to him. I think people gravitated towards that warmth, and he generally cared. There was a, there's just a real genuineness to him that I think was wonderful, and I feel very honored and blessed to just have gotten to know him.
We are joined now by Senator Bayh's younger son, Christopher Bayh, Chris Bayh. Chris, welcome to the program, and our deepest condolences on the loss of your father.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you today and for all the kind words.
So I'm sure that there have to be a million and a half thoughts and memories rolling through your head right now. What would you like to share with us at this moment?
Well, thank you. I've been hearing so much today, rightly, about his public life, his life in the Senate, and I'm so proud of that. He was so proud of that, and I loved always hearing about that. I didn't see any of that firsthand. I saw so much of it through stories and books and articles, but for those who didn't have an opportunity to know him personally, I would like everyone to know how much he lived that every day, how selfless and hardworking and generous and sweet of a man he was. You could not ask for any better person to be your father.
Where do you think, I'll start with Chris on this, but all of you knew him. And as I say, I covered him as a journalist when I was in the newspaper business. And there was a remarkable authenticity to the man. And, you know, there's no other way to frame it. I think Representative Hamilton alluded to it. There was an immense likability to him. Where do you think that came from? I'll start with Chris first, but I'd like to hear everyone's thoughts.
I think it came from his upbringing, from his Western Indiana upbringing. His mom and dad, his mom, as we all may have discussed, left this world too soon, being raised by his grandparents as well. His early life, I think, taught him that work ethic, taught him to be self-effacing and selfless. And he would always talk about that up until his last days. And he tried to provide that kind of environment for me.
Representative Hamilton, where do you think it came from?
His father. Interestingly enough, I knew his father before I knew him. His father was one of the top basketball referees in the state of Indiana. As a matter of fact, I think he still holds the record for the number of games officiated in the state finals. He was refereeing when I was playing basketball. He was highly esteemed as a person and as a referee, but he had a personality that was very outgoing and very pleasing. I used to think so many times when I would see Birch in action that he picked up, if you would, or inherited, if you prefer, the qualities of his father. I never knew Birch's mother. I understand she died when Birch was relatively young, I never met her, so she very well contributed to many of the qualities, too. But his father was an exceptional person, and he's very proud of his son's record, and he contributed a very great deal to that record.
Senator Simpson, we have to take a short break here, so I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind to hold your thoughts until we get to the other side of the break, and then I'm going to ask, I know that a couple of you have to leave because you have understandably other commitments right now, for sort of your thoughts on the greatest impact that the senator had. We are talking about the life and legacy of former U.S. Senator Birch Bayh today on No Limits. If you want to join the conversation, please send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Track us down on Twitter at WFYI, or as a last resort, call us at 866-476-3881. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the life and legacy of former U.S. Senator Birch Bayh, who died earlier today. We're going to be joined by many, many people who knew the senator well and can speak about the impact of his life. There's a bit of business, news business, we probably should take care of before we resume the conversation. That is to remind our listeners that there is a tornado watch in effect until 5 o'clock this afternoon and a wind advisory also in effect until 11 p.m. For those in the WFYI listening area, I'm joined right now by Senator Bayh's son, Chris Bayh, his close colleague in legislative affairs, former U.S. Representative Lee Hamilton, and former Indiana State Senator Vi Simpson, who also was a close ally of Senator Bayh's. Before we went to the break, I asked them to talk about sort of the secret of the senator's likability. We were able to hear Chris Bayh's thoughts and Lee Hamilton's, but I wanted to hear Senator Simpson on this as well.
Yes, thanks, John. A person much like my own father, who had a great respect for everyone. Every person had value. Every work had value. And I think just that genuine respect for others caused people to react to him in a loving and affectionate way that is rare among politicians today. Of everything that I know about Senator Bayh, I think the one thing that stands out for me the most is the honest way that he approached people. And the respectful way that he treated everyone, regardless of where they came from or the color of their skin or their gender. He treated everyone with understanding that they have worth. And I wish that politicians today would learn that lesson, could see Senator Bayh the way I saw him and understand what a true hero he was.
We have gotten an email from someone who knew Senator Bayh well, Bill Moreau. And our email address, if you want to join the conversation that way, is nolimits@wfyi.org. Bill writes, Senator Bayh was being honored by the ABA for his body of work, but he got stuck on the Senate floor, so I was sent as his surrogate. The luminary in charge of presenting the award was none other than Attorney General Benjamin Civiletti. When I stepped forward to accept the award on the senator's behalf, the Attorney General said, this young man must be one of the luckiest staffers on Capitol Hill to be able to work for Senator Birch Bayh. Just as a measure of Senator Bayh's priorities, he had the choice of being with us today or on the Senate floor. He chose the latter. and the bill he's sponsoring will extend basic civil rights to those who are the weakest in our society, the institutionalized. And that's why the American Bar Association is honoring Senator Bai and why I am honored to call him my friend. You can imagine how I felt. He was always very grateful to the people of Indiana for the opportunity they gave him to serve in the Senate for 18 years, and he derived great joy from that service, which he imbued to those of us who were lucky enough to serve at his side. So I'm going to ask a question because I know a couple of you have to leave. There are so many ways that Senator Bai had an impact on the life of this state, the life of this nation, the life of this world. I'm going to ask what you think his longest-reaching impact was. I will start with Senator Simpson, then go to Representative Hamilton, and I think it's appropriate that we give the senator's son the last word on this. Senator Simpson.
Oh, my. There are so many ways that he had an impact. He mentored a lot of young people like me into politics, and that certainly had an impact, a lasting impact for a lot of folks. But I suppose his work on Title IX, but we know him for, or we'll remember him most, I suppose, for the two constitutional amendments that he authored and are now part of the Constitution. But he authored so many other things as well, like an amendment that didn't pass, that guaranteed everyone a right to, I think that language was decent environment. Lee probably remembers that. I don't remember the exact language, but it was something about the environment, that everyone had a right to, you know, air to breathe and water to drink. It didn't pass, but it certainly was part of the conversation in the 70s. The lowering the voting age to 18 was an important part of our national history. But for me, sponsoring the Equal Rights Amendment in the Senate, even though it didn't pass, it certainly opened a conversation, which I think changed laws all over the country. So that women could excel and women would have opportunities that had not been open to them before. So I would say the Equal Rights Amendment and certainly Title IX.
Representative Hamilton.
Well, of course, in terms of impact on people, the Title IX that Vi referred to stands out because it's not many words to Title IX. But those words have had a profound impact on the quality of life of so many Hoosiers, not just women, especially women perhaps, but everybody. There are very few politicians who ever write a word of the U.S. Constitution. Birch wrote more words of the U.S. Constitution than any member of the Congress since James Madison, principally the 25th Amendment, but also the amendment with regard to lowering the voting age. Let me also mention a legacy in politics. Birch changed the way Indiana politicians campaign. Prior to Birch, and perhaps Vance Hartree as well, we campaigned from the front porch, went on television occasionally, gave set speeches. After Birch, who campaigned with shoe leather and pressing the flesh and enormous energy, he literally changed the way in which politicians run for office in this state. And since his time, you couldn't run a campaign by sitting on the front porch. You had to get out and see the people. The energy that he put into campaigning was just extraordinary. By way of an example, during the fall season and the leaves coming out in Brown County, the cars would stack up for miles. Birch would stand at that intersection in Nashville, Indiana, and walk down the line of cars for literally 2 or 3 miles, shaking hands with every person in the car. So he revolutionized and radically changed the manner in which Indiana political candidates interacted with the voter, and I think for the good.
Chris Bai, I'm going to reframe the question ever so slightly for you, and I hope this question's not intrusive, but when you look back on your father's public career, what is the thing that you step back and think, wow, I cannot believe it was my father who did that?
Well, you need a whole another hour-long segment. thank you for that question.
Yeah.
Let me say, I see all the headlines today, and it has to, for headlines necessarily, they have to be short. And almost all of them choose to mention father of Title IX, author of Title IX. So it's focused on Title IX, and if he knew that, he would be so happy. That was what he was proudest of. That's what he felt had the biggest impact. And he'd certainly want me to say that, although it's so often thought of as something focused on athletics, it was never intended to be focused on athletics, but providing women equal opportunity to education, including physical education, that was so important to him based on his life experience and based on what he knew to be the truth and knew what was right. To add to that, as a lawyer who loves to follow legal politics, I'm so amazed by his work on the Judiciary Committee and blocking the Haynesworth and Carswell, Nixon's two segregationist Supreme Court appointments. You can't imagine what the course of history would have been if those appointments had been successful. And based on who ended up there instead of them, we could be living in an entirely different society if things had gone differently there. And it's something that he always talked about as the prime example of what a committed group of people can do. A small group of people, especially the law students that were helping him and doing the research that produced the result that they were working so hard toward, how just a small committed group of people can change the world.
And I should say right now, I understand, Chris and Representative Hamilton, that you have a limited amount of time. We do not want to chase you away. If you can stay with us, we'd love to have you, but I also want to give you a graceful way to get on to dealing with the many other, I'm sure, responsibilities, family and otherwise, that you have to deal with right now.
John, this is Lee Hamilton.
Yes.
I want to thank you for the opportunity to participate. Thank you for the manner in which you have conducted this session about Birch. I will have to drop off at this point. I wish everyone all the best, and let's keep the memory of Birch Bai strong and durable in this state and in this country. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Hamilton. And Chris, do you need to go as well?
I do, and I'd like to say, I'd also like to say thank you so much, and I'm so grateful for Lee's words, for Senator Simpson's words, and for Kelly's words as well, and for the public and private messages that we've seen conveying love and support and fond memories. We're so grateful, and the words that we're reading and receiving today mean so much to us.
And we would like to thank you for sharing this time with us, and again extend our deepest condolences to you and the other members of your family on your loss.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We also are joined now, and Senator Simpson, we've had to put this show together pretty much on the fly. I'm afraid I do not know as much about your time commitments. Can you stay with us for a while?
I'm okay so far. Thank you.
Good deal. Please let me know if you need to go. We're joined now by someone who worked right at the senator's side in several capacities, Fred Nation. Fred, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, John. I'm glad to be on. I'm sorry I wasn't able to listen to Chris and Lee earlier. I'm sure that was great conversation, but I'm sure happy to be on with Vi Simpson.
So
Indiana legend.
Well, it feels actually like a collection of Indiana legends here
thank
today
you,
on the show. Fred, I'm going to ask. I've started. What were your thoughts when you first heard of Senator By's passing?
You know, I believe that I cannot be sad about Birch's passing. He lived a remarkable life. He lived 91 years. He was in good health almost till the end. He died in a way that most of us, as we think about these things, or if we think about these things, would like to die at home with loved ones and quietly. He'd be the first to say, I think, he led a blessed life. So certainly I'll miss him, but he was at that time when it's the fate we all have, and I think he was fortunate, and of course, like everything else, he handled it with grace and dignity.
And I'll ask the two of you, what made him, because we're talking about fundamental ways he changed the course of American history, and you know, I mean, reducing this into sound bites is frankly impossible. What was it that made him so effective, particularly since he came from a part of the country that really never was regarded as all that progressive? So Fred, I'll
sure.
I'll start with you, but then I want to hear Senator Simpson's thoughts.
Of course. Well, thank you. He was not exactly a member of what we refer to as the Greatest Generation, which is generally talked about as World War II veterans. But he came from that same time and cut from the same cloth. He grew up on a farm in a small city. He had some exposure as a child to Washington, D.C., because his father went from Terre Haute to Washington, D.C. as the director of physical education for the public schools in Washington. But most of his time, that was during his high school years, most of his time was spent here in Indiana, especially the summers. He went to New Goshen High School a lot here. And then he went to Purdue and then took over the family farm. And the reason I'm going through those things is he grew up as a normal Hoosier, Midwestern American in so many ways. Loved baseball, a great baseball player as a youth, a good athlete all the way around. And I think part of this is in his genes. His father was a congenial person. And I say that, and, you know, as we get older, you realize that not many people know some of these folks that have been so long gone, but I've been fortunate to have encountered a lot of them. And while I can't say that I knew his father, I had met him when Birch ran for U.S. Senate in 1962. His father was here at our campaign headquarters, which, while I wasn't a part of that campaign as an interested student, I was there a couple of times. And I remember his father, and who, by the way, I may still hold the record for having officiated the most high school final basketball games in Indiana history. He did up until recently. I don't know if that's changed. But he grew up in the soil, and he went to Purdue. And with his buddies Don Fultz and Wayne Townsend, became leaders of the Indiana General Assembly. And when he ran for U.S. Senate, he visited probably every county in the state, sleeping in a car.
Fred, I hate to do this. We're going to have to take a short break here, but we'll come back
okay.
very quickly and wrap up. We're talking about the life and legacy of the late U.S. Senator Birch Bayh here on No Limits. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us.
Send him to Washington on by, you can rely. In November, remember him at the polls. His name you can't pass by. Indiana's own Birch Bayh. Hey, look him over. He's my kind of guy. His first name is Birch. His last name is Bayh.
Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today in the special No Limits about the life and legacy of the late U.S. Senator Birch Bayh. We've been joined by people who knew and worked with the senator. If you want to join this conversation, please send us an email at 866-476-3881. You can send us, reach out to us via Facebook at No Limits WFYI, track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Or, even though the phone lines are crowded, call us at 866-476-3881. Fred, before we went to the break, unfortunately, I had to cut you off, and I apologize for that. I wanted to give you a chance to finish your thought. Fred?
I with Hoosiers, and he never got the farmer out of him, and his favorite thing to do is go to the Dairy Queen. In Indiana. He knew
I was just going to say that, Fred.
Well, I'm sure you, like I, have had that experience with him. I remember once in Kokomo, we went in, and he struck up a conversation with a person who was serving him, who was a high school teacher on summer break. And education was his passion, and he came from a family of teachers. And it was a great conversation to listen to, and how Birch was able to empathize with the teacher and knew what he was talking about. And he could talk to anybody. Probably the best retail politician in Indiana history, and probably beyond that. That is the ability to meet people, talk to any of them, and connect.
Vi, your thoughts?
Well, he was a Hoosier. And we hear politicians today talk about Hoosier values. Every politician on every brochure I've ever read, at least in the last couple of decades, has talked about taking Hoosier values to Washington. And I would venture to say that half of them don't even know what Hoosier values are. All they need to do is look at Birch Bayh. That he represented Hoosier values, in my opinion. All that we talked about earlier, before Fred even joined the conversation, about Birch's ability to connect with people, to respect and love people, regardless of their station in life, or the color of their skin, or their gender. And I think he did take those kinds of values to Washington, D.C., and he was respected there. And in order to pass legislation, especially of the magnitude and quality of the legislation that Senator Bayh carried, in order to accomplish those things and be successful, you had to have that ability to reach across the aisle, put forward these kinds of values, where these retail politician kinds of values, where you could reach your hand out and the other person receiving that handshake knew that your word was good and that there was mutual respect between the two. We've lost a lot of that in politics today, and it's so unfortunate. It really, in many ways, is the end of an era.
And
when you look back, just for people to think about it, at that point in time when Birch Bayh was serving in the U.S. Senate and Lee Hamilton, the quality of people who were representing Indiana in Washington, D.C., Representative Hamilton and Brademas and Phil Sharp and others, the quality of the of the knowledge, of the quality of the understanding of these national issues was so high. And we held our politicians in high regard and high respect, and they earned it. They earned it. And we've lost so much of that in today's world.
And in that regard, just before we went on the air, we were able to talk with someone that Senator Bai ran against in 1974, former U.S. Senator Richard Lugar, who offered his thoughts on the passing of former Senator Bai.
No Limits is a production of...
Oops. We're getting it.
I appreciated the opportunity to visit with Birch Bai most days of the week when we were serving together in the Senate for many years, because we were of the same mind that the Senate and the Congress does its duty, if people are able to visit with each other, put together legislation, and understand different points of view. And Birch was a very friendly conversationalist. I served with Birch on the Intelligence Committee of the Senate when it was first formulated, and I think he played a role in helping to formulate such a committee before he left the Senate. And so that was a time in which we were able to share some experiences, think about the security of the country and particular challenges together, and I appreciated that. Clearly, he has a place in world in U.S. history with the successful passage of two constitutional amendments. That has never occurred with any public servant in the history of our country, and he offered constructive suggestions for those constitutional amendments. I think that in addition to that, he offered other amendments and legislation that will be remembered for a long time, and my guess is that he will be perceived as someone who had thoughts about humanity, about human relations, about civil rights and the rights of people.
That was former U.S. Senator Richard Lugar sharing his thoughts on the life and legacy of former U.S. Senator Birch Bai, who died earlier today. Fred Nation, I'm going to go back to you, and there obviously is some respect there, and I've talked with Senator Lugar in other contexts about Birch Bai, and it's clear that he respected the man. That and I think this is getting to something that Senator Simpson was alluding to earlier, that there was a kind of cordiality across party lines that is largely absent today. What was it about Senator Bai that made that possible?
When he went to the United States Senate in 1962, the Senate was controlled by Democrats, but it was a different party then. In fact, the real control, the real power, was with a small group of Southern Democratic senators, James Eastland, Mississippi, and Richard Russell of Georgia, and several others, Strom Thurmond, Carolina. What he was able to forge a relationship with them, and again, I think it's because of his Hoosier background. He wanted to learn, so he treated them with respect, and they returned it. And that helped him learn the ways of the Senate, and he was able to put together coalitions of conservatives on some issues and coalitions of liberals on other issues. He had a lot of fights with them, and earlier the Ainsworth and Carswell nominations were noted, which was a seminal moment and so true about what a different country we would have. But again, I think it's what he learned here in Indiana and what he learned in the Indiana General Assembly. He was there for 8 years.
Speaker of the House, yeah.
Speaker of the House when he's about 30, maybe?
Yeah.
And a student, a law student at IU. And to that point, when I last saw him, was in Terre Haute, was 2009. He came to the Bay College of Education at Indiana University for, I think, the kickoff of the university's capital campaign. Mm-hmm. And I had a little time with him, and I said, by the way, I said, we know about the Equal Rights Amendment and the Constitution, but what do you think, what do you call your greatest legislative accomplishment? And his answer was sure a surprise to me. He said, the passage of the School Reorganization Act when he was Speaker of the House in 1959, along with Don Fultz and Wayne Townsend, his Purdue classmates, all in the legislature, all rural legislators, they got, this is after Sputnik the previous year, the concern about our schools being able to compete in teaching of science and technology. And he'd gone to a little country school, and he knew that they weren't equipped to they didn't have enough teachers, enough expertise, enough budget to teach for the second half of the 20th century. And that school reorganization had a major impact on education in Indiana. And that's what he thought was his greatest accomplishment.
We are joined by another person who worked with and knew Senator Bay well, Betty Tonsing. Betty, welcome back to the program.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for calling me today. You know, I was madly calling around the country. Bob Lehmeyer, Fred's going to remember Bob Lehmeyer. Sure. He's going to remember Lou Borman. I think one of the things that we loved working for we call him the senator still, or Birch. John, he wasn't, when he came to Washington, he wasn't that old, and he brought young people with him. It was a time for that. And I think, and I've heard that throughout your program, he brought an energy, he brought vitality, he brought youth, and that never stopped. I was reflecting on how old he was 91, and that's a couple of decades old. But, he was still bringing young people. He believed in us, and he gave responsibility to young people. And I think the things that he was doing would be landmark legislation today. The belief in women, the belief in girls in sports, higher education, understanding with the 25th Amendment, the orderly change of power. Something that I have not heard mentioned is Electoral College. Mm-hmm. He opened up the discussion. He was a part of that major part of opening up the discussion of perhaps we should have the popular vote. And we're still talking about that today, and it's still unresolved. We loved him. We continue to love him. And I tell you, the network is powerful. When he would come to Indiana in these later years, and we'd have there'd be a party for him, now, he came from Washington. People would travel from Washington to attend the party here in Indianapolis because they wanted to see old pals. People would come from California. He just was that magnet still. And I think we felt it was a grand time. We were on a mission, and we were doing important work. And we still feel that way.
We are talking about...
I've heard from a couple of people, Lou Borman in particular, that, Lisa, I just don't think I can't. We're stunned. Not expected. We're not surprised. He was older. I think we were sadly knowing one day we would get this call, and it's been rifling through the network, through phone calls, through email. We've been texting each other. And Lou just said, I just don't think I can right now. I just don't think I can talk about him.
We've got a call from a listener who wants to join the conversation. And if you do want to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-476-3881. David, you are on the air.
Good afternoon, John. It's a pleasure to be on and to be able to speak about this. I'm just going to make a quick comment about Birch, who was a favorite of my parents. But the reason I know that Birch Bay was such a good person and tried to do the right thing by everybody in Indiana and was an excellent legislator is because of his son. I grew up in the era of his son, Evan Bay, and because he is such a good person, it is easily recognized that his father was a good person.
Thank you very
and
much.
That was just my comment for it.
Thank you very much for the call and sharing the comment. So I'm going to make point of this because I've been trying to think, you know, when I talked with Evan Bay not long ago and I talked about his family's legacy of leadership, he actually said, well, actually, we think it didn't start with my father. It started with my grandfather. And everybody's alluded to that, that he would, you know, that he was this force as well. Can you think of any other family in Indiana history that has had an impact like the Bays have? Because we haven't even talked about Marvella Bay, who was a force in her own right. Senator Simpson?
I'm trying to think of one, and I can't. Of course, Lee Hamilton's nephew is the mayor of Bloomington right now. And by the way, we just had a tornado siren go off. So
oh, okay.
If I get here, you'll know I'm in the pantry.
Okay. So, well, be safe, whatever you are doing.
So the Hamiltons have had a lot of impact, of course, but no, I can't think of another family. There have been a lot of fathers and sons and so on in the legislature, but I can't think of another family that's had more impact. And when you measure both Birch and Evans' impacts, not only in Indiana but across the nation, I think it's enormous, and we should all be very, very proud of the Bay family and what they've contributed.
We've got only about 90 seconds left of the program, so I'm going to start with Fred. What is the thing at his passing that Americans should be most grateful to Birch Bay for?
For his ability to work with people of diversity. And when I say diversity, I'm not talking only about, I am including racial gender diversity, who's very strong in those areas, but especially across the aisle, something we need to restore.
Betty, same thing. I'm going to give you about 25 seconds.
His idealism, he had it, and it spread among all of us. To do good work, and to just be humble about it, but high energy, to do the right thing.
Senator Simpson, you also have about 30 seconds.
Senator Bay will be remembered, I think, in history for his work on gender equality, pay equity, not only women in sports, but I think Betty mentioned women in and their access to higher education, which in turn gave them access to work and higher paying jobs. It's an amazing legacy that he has left us, and I'm so proud that I knew him and that I considered him a friend and a mentor.
I think that is an appropriate last word. I'd like to thank the three of you and all of the other people who called in to share their memories. The former U.S. Senator Birch Bay, who died earlier today. I also would like to extend my condolences to you and to the Bay family. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to this special No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producers, Sarah Neal Estes, Roxana Caldwell, and Jill Sheridan. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Emily Matheny screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.
A tornado warning has been issued for Shelby and Decatur County until 2:45 this afternoon. A tornado warning in effect for Shelby and Decatur counties till 2:45 this afternoon.